Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode for Season 7, Episode 3, The Man with Two Right Shoes. So it might be helpful to be watching Season 7, Episode 3, The Man with Two Right Shoes of NYPD Blue while we're talking about it. NYPD Blue is currently available on Hulu. They do have the syndication edits, though. We don't do any commentary episodes based on the full edits, so that's not a problem. Anyway, that's not important. I believe it's also on Amazon. I know it was off Amazon for a little while. I think it is back on. I could be wrong about that. And, of course, NYPD Blue is available on DVD discs in various places, but I do know that it is hard to get outside of America. I apologize for that. I wish it was more available. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope that we can catch you all the way to the end of the episode where I'll talk to you again. But until then, cue up Season 7, Episode 3, The Man with the Two Right Shoes, and get ready for a commentary episode. One, two, three.
Got it.
All right, NYPD Blue Balls, The Man with Two Right Shoes. Open it up with another montage like most NYPD Blue episodes do. I forgot what the beginning is. I'm looking at my notes. Oh, yeah, it's this fucking weird shit. Sorensen and Mary Franco, I think that's her name. She's upside down, in the bed, staring at children's drawings.
Yeah, like going through his shit, right?
Well, it's also like, am I crazy or is he a terrible waking up actor?
Was Sorensen?
Yeah.
Eric, I think Sorensen is a terrible actor, period.
I believe he says, yeah, is this some kind of freaky deke? Don't know what that means.
Because she upside down. I don't know. She says I can work with you, though. She's into it. I don't think he was ready for that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Mary Franco, but she seems down. I mean, if you're down for Sorensen.
She seems like she has issues, just like him.
It's to be fair, every person on this show has issues. There's, like, not one mentally, like, healthy person or psychologically healthy person. But this is where we just get the backstory that he has sisters. His parents... He doesn't, like, his dad died and his mom couldn't take care of him, so they shipped him off to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born in Oslo, Norway.
It's like a lot of, the dying part isn't a thing, but, like, there are a lot of people that I've met who, their stories are, like, especially in New York, that, like, they got sent here when they were young, lived here with some family members that lived here first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when their parents got here, then they were, like, reunited in a way. But it was easier and better to get their kids to America first.
Well.
Is that too liberal?
I don't know.
Is that too much of a liberal story? I mean, that seems like that's the American dream, right? That's why, like, America exists for freedom, like, shit like that, right?
Well, I will say...
Oh, sorry. Let me paraphrase that. Only if it applies to white immigrants. Sorry.
Okay. Well, now they're gonna have sex after he dropped that bomb, and she mentioned that she searched his apartment, which I thought would be a red flag, but apparently it's a green light for fucking.
Well, do we really think she did? I think she did.
Yeah, of course she did.
She said it, so he wouldn't think. So he would be like, "Oh, haha, she has a sense of humor." But she fucking searched that shit.
She searched his entire place. So, I feel...
But Danny's not a talker. Danny doesn't let himself... He's not letting himself out of his shell.
We're now at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. But I do want to give a quick advisory at the top. This episode has a lot of offensive portrayal of gay people and gay culture. I apologize ahead of time, and I want to also...
That's funny, you would say offensive, I would say spot on.
Well, you wouldn't say it was
I'm just kidding. I don't remember. I know kind of this episode, but I don't know like the gritty details, so I'm about to be surprised.
Well, the some of the dialogue and writing is pretty inappropriate for now.
I'm doing something different with this season. I'm not pre-watching them with you.
Oh, so you're gonna find out
before we watch them. I'm watching them as we watch it. Oh, beauty shot of the two towers, baby. 1 year away.
Oh, Jesus. Keep in mind, this aired in January of 2010?
No way 2010.
Oh, yeah,
2000.
Why did I write 2010? I'm dumb.
2000 or 2001?
Here is Andy's ex-wife coming in.
Oh, that's right, 2001. Space Odyssey.
Basically, Andy is letting her know that Theo is acting up lately by not wanting to play on the same rides he played on earlier. And that's a problem, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty fun scene because the ex-wife is like, wait, what's the problem? Like, have you dealt with children before? And then you're like, oh, wait, he hasn't.
Yeah, because he's never around for his other kid.
No, so he has no idea that occasionally kids' tastes change.
He's upset that the kid is growing up?
Yes. That is essentially...
I bet you $100 if Dad was here, he'd be like, you've never been a father. You don't know what it's like when your kid starts changing and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Oh, wait, is Papa Asher here? That impression was so spot on.
Dude, there are things that I say sometimes... And, like, my brain goes, like, oh, is your dad here? And I'm like, oh, no, that's just me, and it's fucking creepy.
It's like Trey Parker and the character of Randy. He used to be an impression of his dad. Now it's just himself.
God, Randy's the best, dude.
So she lets him know that the lesson that she's trying to tell him about this drug addict who has tons of porn on his computer... is sometimes you can't make people do things. You can only support them in the things that they want to do and hope they do better, which is not the same level as a child who wants to go on a slide instead of a merry-go-round. But isn't that enabling?
Isn't she describing like the acts of an enabler? Like 100%, like if you were really into heroin,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't then support you with your heroin abuse.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to just make sure that, like, you know, we were all hunky-dory, everything was okay, well, whatever she was talking about. I would support you as you and my brother, but I wouldn't be okay with your heroin abuse.
Well, I don't think that's exactly what she's saying. She's just trying to let him know that, like, I think she's just catering it to what's happening with Theo, which is like him wanting to do different things is going to be a part of him existing.
Gotcha.
But she then has...
I just found it weird she brought up porn guy.
That's just for comedy, so Sipwitz can get in some good one-liners.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Katie.
Here we have the DOA, who is in a tub... it's wet all over the ground because the FDNY came in because a fire alarm
spraying trip. Shit everywhere.
Yep, just spraying water on everything. I don't know when they mention, but his dick's cut off.
Did he put it on a plate?
No, there's no dicks on plates in this one.
It's not a common thing.
No, it's not.
Not a common thing.
And this is a Daryl Connors from Virginia who has male sex worker regulars come up to his room.
But he's from Virginia. How could that be?
Well, he comes up to get male sex workers. So this is Sam Lloyd, who...
The lawyer from Scrubs.
Yep, Ted. He was also in Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
He was also in Flubber. He was the...
Why did you say Flubber like that?
I don't know. He was the basketball coach in Flubber, which is just funny.
He was the basketball coach in Flubber?
Yeah.
God.
They mostly hired him for his reactions to how the Flubber was helping the basketball team. It's pretty clear.
but we're going to get mad at that Cuban lady getting picked to beat Marilyn Monroe. But we're not going to get mad that that guy was picked to play a basketball coach in Flubber.
No, because there are no races that are specific to basketball coaches. This is when they hassle some musician who I think has his own drug problems because he's very weird. Jeff Chase, he didn't see anything, man.
He's got I like his voice. He's probably a voice actor now.
Yeah, he does have a very fun voice. I also did mention that the ex-wife was played by Deborah Monk, who you may recognize from Devil's Advocate.
There's a lot of things.
Here is where Medavoy finds the penis. They also found two left shoes, one 10, one 8.5.
So, there goes our title.
Oh, yeah. So this is a very interesting case that I'm glad you're going to see for the first time without any heads up. Or not the first time. You're going to see without any heads up. So we got a young boy here, Jason Lopez. And, his mother is giving him some grief because she believes he has stolen a jacket and some rollerblades.
She seems very upset.
Very, very unsettled. Now, I don't know if you were like me. Do you think you recognize this kid from something?
No. No idea. Not at first, no. Why? Who is he?
Because I thought the second I saw him, I was like, I've seen this dude in something. And then it turns out, no, I haven't. I haven't seen him in a fucking thing. But I could.
He's ever been in?
No, I mean, he's been in, like, a couple of, like, horror sequels and been on TV, but nothing I've ever watched.
Okay.
But I thought I swore I saw this kid before, but I did not. Right now, the mother's explaining that this new teacher is responsible. Her influence. Her quote-unquote influence.
Does she mean titties?
Well, I think the titties are involved, Kyle. But also, once again, it would be a statutory rape. Not cool.
But South Park taught us that if it's a girl teacher, it's cool.
But they also taught us this several years ago. Decade almost, nice. Maybe more. Nice. Also, I wrote down that there is no dad in the picture. I think they ask him about his dad, and he's like, there's no dad. They also came up with that, he has a job. He's got a job. He's paying for this stuff, Kyle.
Yeah, he says he works at a computer store.
Yeah, he works for a...
Computer store.
Kids don't know nothing about no computers. This is the early 2000s. It's not like now.
She is manhandling the fuck out of this kid.
Yeah, Sonia Lopez is pretty hands-on.
She's not taking any of that shit.
And they decide they'll go check out that computer store. Now here... Jeff Chase, you know, he's really put out because he just came for an open mic and now he witnessed a possible murder.
Okay. Does it say where this dude's from?
No, I think he says he's going back to Chicago.
So, you're a nobody, are you coming all the way out to New York for just... an open mic?
Maybe he thinks that'll be helpful for his career. I don't know. He's grinding, man. He's on that rise and grind mentality.
His voice wouldn't say different, but okay.
Well, his voice, I could have swore it's like, this dude's from California. But
yeah, Chicago, the Chicago thing is throwing me off. I didn't think it was Chicago, not at all.
I think he said he was heading back to Chicago, but I don't know if they really established where he's from. Because, yeah, that voice, the voice of Jeff Chase, I was like, that's California. For sure.
For sure. For sure.
For sure. Got a little ad break. Got a guy running. So do you think they just filmed, like, they literally just filmed random shit and didn't get those people's permission?
Or they went back and asked them for their permission?
So here is Kirkendall and Russell going to the computer store, and this balding dude is already a little on edge.
He looks like he could be the brother of the dad from Even Stevens.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he does. It might be. I didn't see his name come up with any interesting results.
If you didn't see it, then
also, he's caught in a lie pretty fucking quickly. This dude could not handle an interrogation.
No. He's a white business owner.
He's a white business owner. And those
he got scared real quick when the cops showed up. He ain't losing his license or anything, he ain't losing his store.
And he just straight up goes like, yeah, Jenny Peters, she told me to say that he works here. And it's like, what do you think's going on, bro? What do you think is happening?
Especially like, dude probably wasn't getting none either. Like, what is he getting out of this?
You thought he might get sex for this, is what you're saying?
No, like, I'm more interested in to see, like, the dynamic. Like, why was she... Hello?
Oh, yeah, like, oh, they're just friends?
Yeah, like, why... Yeah, like why was she... And then, I'm sorry, I love this dude. I love the firehouse guy. They shit on firemen the whole time here.
Yeah, it's pretty... It's pretty clear, especially from the outcome of this story, that they're kind of being like, you know who's also dicks? Some of our cops, but fucking firemen. Like, let's talk about it. Everyone talks about how cool they are. They're real cocks. Like, it's a real fuck fireman mentality in NYPD Blue.
Yeah, but the way he acts, too, like, he just walks in, he's, like, disrespect. He doesn't stop at John's desk to see what John needs. Nothing like that.
He's sitting on another person's, like, not on their chair, at their on their desk.
On their desk.
But he also, the reason he's here is Sipowicz is investigating the fact that there's a missing watch and ring, and he's asking them, he's like, hey, well, your guys had to come by and hose down the place, so did one of your guys fucking take it or see it? And he's like, nah, we didn't do that. Anyway, here's some dick jokes. Aren't I hilarious? And everybody's like, what a fucking blowhard. Like, fuck that guy.
Separate funerals? Oh!
Oh!
Like, fucking, did they get Andrew Dice Clay to write that joke?
The dice! Well, here we got Jenny Peters, who comes in of her own volition. And she's just, she is, someone used this joke in a stream I did. She's at 110 degrees Fahrenheit right now. It is Karen to the max, because they are bothering her student.
She's got the haircut too. Like, if NYPD Blue did anything, they predicted the haircut.
And, oh my God, just the face. This actress, I haven't seen her in anything that I've noticed, that I've ever watched.
I feel like during the 90s and 2000s, she was a character actor.
Yeah.
Actress on, like, a lot of, like, TV shows, sitcoms, and movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I could be mistaking her for, like, another character actress, you know? I don't know.
She also has, like, and, you know, it's not cool, and this will make some people in the audience happy. It's not cool to discuss women's appearances, but she has, like, those sharp features where it's like, okay, you're going to cut me with your words and or face?
Jesus Christ.
She kind of looks like Lord Farquaad from Shrek. Anyway, she's basically like, no one understands what I'm doing. I'm saving this poor Hispanic child.
White savior.
Yeah, and
she is the Jesus of the Lower East Side.
And she also was like, yes, I got him a job, and she doesn't know that they know that it's bullshit.
It's fake, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Those are my favorite when they already start to give information when they don't ask for it. And then she tries to make it seem that like he needs it. I'm doing this all for him.
Oh yeah, and I wrote down the quote. I'll do what it takes. And it's like, wow, okay.
The line that creeps me out is she goes, "I finally found a boy who I'm willing to put in all my effort for," or something like that. So I could just pass. I don't want to rewind it. But like, yeah, that's creepy.
She is a creep. So here
they're Fancy.
Yep, they're running down for Fancy, this DOA who frequented gay sex workers, and here is where some of the really offensive shit starts happening. I have my closed captioning cut off because of where I put my microphone for the recording, but they use the term fairy bars to describe where they're going to have to check them out. That was the first indication that things might not be going well. And then I think the next scene, they go to one of these establishments. And I don't know if this is an offensive or accurate portrayal of a gay bar.
Well, Kirk.
I don't know. I've not been in one.
As a man who's been in a gay bar, I would say, like, it's
ass.
Not...
Sorry.
Yeah, I am. That was there.
yeah.
I would say that it's not appropriate. It's not inappropriate, but at the same time, there is some, like, stereotypes, you know?
Oh, yeah. And Sipowicz gets immediately pissed at the guy because his ass is out.
You put on some pants. Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, dude, there was a lot of that. This kind of looks like, and like, I'm not fucking around. Like, the aesthetic, though, it does look like the gay bar that I went to. But I didn't go during the day. I went when
it was night.
It was, yeah, when it was night, so it was different. You know what I mean?
When the boys were out. When shit was happening.
Andy, what am I doing? You're guarding the door. As what?
As yourself.
Metaphor.
It's so weird. Like, it's so weird how uncomfortable everybody immediately gets. Like, sure, it's kind of a situation you may not be used to, but just the fact that Metavoy's like, what do I do? And it's like, you're a cop. You're investigating.
Okay. All right. Fair. Let me do you one then, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Should we talk about that they're finding this guy in the bathroom?
Well, yeah, they're looking for, I believe, Tommy. He has his own name tattooed on his neck. He has two right shoes on in the toilet, and they get his ass out because, well, he lies about his name.
So you say, like, oh, it must be weird. Like, or like, oh, man, these guys act so weird as soon as they walk into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, first, only been to one gay bar my entire life. Went willingly, wasn't tricked, wasn't, like, snatched up by, like, the liberal elites, none of that. Right?
You weren't put in one of those gay conversion vans that I hear about on 4chan?
No, no. Oh, you're 4chan? I'm Gap, baby. You can find me on Gap. No, none of that. But,
also, I want to highlight that Metavoy points at him. Don't know what that was for. just points aggressively.
He's going to go to, well, he's just remembering he's got to go, what he's got to pray for when he's at church on Sunday. So I went willingly, me and like three friends, me, Danny, and like two of our girlfriends were at like an Oktoberfest, right?
Yeah.
And we're at the Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest is getting kind of boring. And then the two girls that were like, were there with were like, oh, hey, like our two friends are in town. They're a lesbian couple. They're going to this gay bar. Do you want to go? We're like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. Let's go. This Oktoberfest is getting really boring and really white. So we go to the gay bar, right? And at first I'm like, it's going to be like any other bar. Who cares? Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, what? Like, not that big a deal, right? Walk in. Dudes wearing assless chaps. Kind of got to get used to that.
Yeah, that's the thing, I guess.
Like, it takes a minute to get used to ass being everywhere. Male or female. That's it, period.
Okay? You got to get used to ass.
And then the next thing that you have to kind of get used to that's not necessarily something that's, like, easy to get used to is it's just hardcore gay porn on every TV around the bar.
Well, that seems interesting.
Yeah. So it's just, like, dudes fucking each other, which is fine. Like, that's great. Like, that's what makes you happy. Like, that's all awesome. But, like, when I'm ordering, like, a Jack and Coke, I need a minute.
Well, when you order a Jack and Coke, you start to Jack and Coke.
So I just gotta get a minute. I just need a minute to get used to it. That's all I'm asking for. I'm just asking for like an hour, maybe like 30 minutes, just to like for my brain to just be like, okay, this is how it's gonna be. Let me get used to it. Bam, we can move on. I don't think I was wrong in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think so. But
no.
It actually
ended up being really fun, and I was so drunk from Oktoberfest, like, I didn't know really what was going on, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I mean, the only reason I think it was kind of shitty in this context of this show is these guys represent authority in some fashion, and they, like, roll up into their business, and they're like, hey, change everything about how you do things, because I'm uncomfortable. And they were like, what the fuck? Like, what do you need? I will help you find what you need. We're just existing in our space.
Right, sure. And it also seems like there's more coming from a real place of hatred.
Yeah, for real.
And like they were grossed out. Knowing that they had to go to a gay bar in the beginning they were already grossed out and gonna act weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this interrogation is pretty rad. It's one of those episodes where, like, they find the guy who did it, and then they just get the confession, like, immediately. Tommy is explaining that he's not a gay man. He just engages in gay sex work for money. And what they try to get out of him is, okay, that's what you do, that's your job, fine. How did this guy end up stabbed and mutilated and cut up? And here, I think we're at the same spot. Here is where he says, you can lick my feet, you can...
I'll screw you, I'll spank you, and you can lick my feet, but do not try kissing me.
But do not kiss me. Lips are off limits, okay? He's established his sex work boundaries, and this gentleman did not adhere to those boundaries.
Our lips cannot touch, but my lips can touch your dick.
Well, no, Kyle. He established early that he will not do anything to a man's popo, but his popo can be done too, and that's what
he can be done too for whatever.
Yeah, he established that with our DOA, Mr. Daryl Connors. But then Daryl Connors tried to kiss him, and so he naturally stabbed him several times and cut off his dick.
Would you work out that deal?
You mean in my gay, like, escapades, or?
No. Like, let's just say, like, some dude was like, "Yo, for 2 years, I'll pay you $1 million."
Oh, wow.
And I just want to, like, touch your dick whenever I want.
whenever, like, even if it's an inconvenience to me?
No, obviously not, but, like, in a grown-up way, this is a job, you know, it's a profession.
So in a way,
for maybe 2 years, you might have to give up a little bit of freedom, because if he's paying you seven figures, like, you might have to run and, like, just be ready to go for him whenever he's ready, you know what I mean?
I don't think I would do that, no.
No.
I don't think I would.
Okay.
Mostly because I don't think I'd be down to break the law that way, even for seven figures. And I think I would end up, like, trying to call it off immediately after agreeing to it, because I'd be losing my mind in anxiety and... Also, I don't really want to let a man play with my dick for $1 million. So that's where we're at. Also, it's kind of weird to have this discussion when this boy is admitting to a woman taking advantage
sexual
of him.
Assault. Yeah. To being sexually assaulted by a woman, like, four times his age.
Well, he, what's really, like, very sad for this character is he walks in and he's like, "Are you gonna arrest me?" And it was like,
well, she's probably brainwashed him.
Oh yeah, for sure. One of the things
told them, yeah, we can get in a lot of trouble for this.
And then she's like, "We need to go to New Mexico," which made me wonder: is it legal in New Mexico? I don't think it is. I hope it isn't.
How old is he?
15.
No, I was gonna say 17, maybe, but 15 though.
But he says the phrase, "I don't think I'm as special as she says I am," and I was like, that hurts. And here's where the frickin' old people are
pretty,
like...
That's a pretty deep combo. Or deep statement.
Here's where our Karen is gonna be upset she's being arrested for having sex with a child.
But did they have to do it to her at school?
They had to go get her.
Yeah, that's kind of... that's. I'm just saying, like, what if, like, in the end,
she
didn't do anything? Just by them being there like that, the way they're doing it, it kind of contained her career and, like, who she is as a teacher, blah, blah, blah.
But she 100%...
They handled this one poorly, in my opinion.
But she absolutely did do it.
No. And she acts like someone who's not innocent at all.
Well, yeah, I like wrote down, they really predicted exactly how Karens were going to act when they get pulled away from a business. Like, this is oppression! And it's like, no,
it's,
it isn't.
It's pretty spot on. It's scary how good it is.
Oh, Gibson.
Eddie Gibson!
Eddie fucking Gibson.
Not my favorite secondary character, but he's up there.
I think he does a good job as this character, but I don't like his character, if that makes sense. I think it's how,
it's
like,
fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's like how you hate Metavoy so much, but I think he does a great job.
Yeah, he does a good job being Metavoy.
Like, look, this, dude, yeah.
I just rewatched some of Deadwood, and Metavoy's in it. And he's a completely different person, so he's a good actor, but Metavoy's annoying as fuck.
But, yeah, Eddie is just letting him know, like, hey, I'm taking my pictures, the FDNY guys come in, they spray everything down, and then I come back and take more pictures, not even noticing the stuff's gone. So, it's pretty clear the FDNY have something to do with it.
Yeah, they went in there, and they went in there guns blazing, ready to put the fire out.
Water guns, in this case. Could you do me a favor? Could you turn it down a little bit on your end? I think I can hear it through your thing. I just don't want to get... I just don't want to get ABC coming after me.
So something weird happened. Like, the first... fucking... where are we at now? 40 minutes of this... or 30 minutes of this whole episode... the volume wasn't working. And then randomly it just got fucking loud. So yeah, I was just reading the captions and following along that way.
Oh, that's weird. Here is where the Kirkendall and Russell let Martinez, like, hey, maybe you should stay off this one so you don't yell at this woman.
Because then he called her a bitch.
Oh, he said, are we going to go after this miserable bitch?
Yeah, we're going to go after this miserable bitch.
And he...
I'm not going to lie, he's going to get mad I'm going to say this. That sounds like something Dad would say.
Oh, this miserable... Well,
I'm going to go after this miserable bitch.
Well, they have a point because she was, like, nothing but condescending to, well, the cops in general, but also specifically to Martinez because of her desire to help the Latino youths, as she put it.
And he was looking at it in a negative way. But you would think if Martinez was smart, he would have used the fact that he was Latino and like gotten close to her. But
well,
that's
no.
That's a different episode.
The problem, Kyle, is that she won't get close to him because he has hair and mature sex characteristics because she's a fucking pedophile.
His voice dropped.
Because I could see a
scenario where like he could be like, you know, I wish I had a teacher like you, blah blah blah. Like if I would have had you as a teacher, like I could have had like more bigger dreams. I don't know, some shit like that.
Well, since this like delusional, condescending bitch in this entire interview, I wrote down some things. She says at one point, my personal life is none of your business. I was like, well, it is if it's statutory rape.
You're raping children.
She said that he's no 15-year-old. Our souls are linked. And I was like, well, if your souls are there, then it doesn't make it a crime. And then she said his mom will want to make him a laborer and not fulfill his potential, but he's going to forget about all this, and he's going to remember me. And I was like, well, he's going to remember you because you raped him.
He'll always remember you. He's going to have to talk to his fucking therapist about it forever.
Yeah, it was really, really... She does such a good job at being hateable.
This whole monologue she has is really good. Even though it's like the ramblings of a lunatic, she does a really good job at it. She gives it character, as you would say.
She puts a little meat on the bones. So here comes Lieutenant Phillips of the FDNY to get shaken down by Sipowicz in a pretty rad way.
So this whole episode is basically like Sipowicz. It's like Sipowicz dealing with this guy. That's all he's really had to do.
Yeah.
Everything else has been kind of answered as along the way, like you said. But this is the real case. This is it.
Well, what's weird is like he does have a pretty good part in the interrogation with the other guy, but it happens so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like the murder is not the main focus of this episode. The main focus is the damn fire department stealing the watch and ring.
Which you would think the dude having his dick cut off would be the bigger scandal here, but...
Well, it's almost like, because they had that one scene where a guy was naked, his head was cut off and in his lap.
Yeah.
And they had all these other gory things, like, well, people don't want gore. They want us to shit on the fire department.
They want Andy to hate everything and everybody that isn't an NYPD detective or police officer.
Also, they want us to go after the LGBTQ community.
Were they the LGBTQ community back then?
No, they were just, you know, offensive words. Well, I loved how John got involved in this. And he was like, are you sure you want to include another person? And then Sipowicz is like, this is so you don't fuck me over, dog. And then...
Double-cross-a-rooski.
Double-cross-a-rooski. And then he does Win in Rome and starts to walk away, and it's like, fuck you, dude, you stole some shit.
But it, like, I love how John tries to act tough.
It is, it's also interesting, John was, like, heavily involved in both cases in some way. He's involved with this, and he was involved when the kid comes back.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, they're getting John involved, too.
Yeah, he must be testing well.
He must be testing well. Well, it's also funny, because, like, we talked early, because I was like, I love
but
John.
Also, but also, it's the episode that's dealing with something, like, that's happening in the gay community. Like, they can't not include John, you know?
But it's weird, because John has nothing really to do with it. But it also, like, because...
Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe it's just, like, John was helpful in both situations. The one that involved gay culture and the one that didn't. But if he wasn't, like, necessarily, like, the main focus, he was just there being a normal person.
Yeah, that was cool. It also just highlights all the parts where Sipowicz and Medavoy and Sorensen may have been rude to other gay people.
they're not gonna stop
because they don't have to at this point at all.
But they're cool. They like them and John. They respect each other. They're cool. So it's all good.
So this scene. Awkward as hell. Sipowicz literally shoos a woman and her daughter off of a thing. The scene before it, I just wanted to mention, Kirkendall mentions that she's done with Don, and Russell kind of pokes at it, going like, well, you didn't warn him, did you? And she's like, ah! And then Russell's like, that's kind of suspicious. And they just leave it at they just leave it at that.
Well, she didn't say no.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, yeah, I mean... If you were
ultimately, she didn't lie, right?
And here Theo is just like, I want to get on the slide, man. I'm getting older. And it's really, I mean, the whole scene is just Andy accepting that he's going to have to let Theo grow up because all the bad things that happened to every one of his family members.
Is Andy being a weirdo?
Well, Andy is being Andy. I don't think he's being... And he is a weirdo. Like, if that makes sense. Like, he is a dude that has watched every important person exit his life, and most of the time in a violent, horrible way. And now he is the primary caregiver of this child, and he's like, I don't want anything to happen to this boy, but he has to... do it in baby steps, or else it'll drive him insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, he's had a kid, like, he knows they grow up, like...
But, I mean, you said it yourself, he didn't even really watch the other boy, Andy Jr., grow up.
No, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
He was drunk the entire time.
I just feel like I don't, if I had a kid and the kid was like, I want to go on the slide, I'm like, all right, do you want help? And then if they're like, no, I got it, I'd be like mad. I'd be more proud of that than anything else.
Well, yeah, it's and the episode's over, by the way. I assume if you're watching along with us, you know that. But I mean, I think the point is Sipowicz is learning that he's going to have to allow for Theo to live his own life, but it's going to be just really hard for him to get over that because, like, he tried to help Andy Jr. as an adult become a cop, and then he ended up dying. He was trying to help Sylvia with her case and help her get back from having a child, and then she died. Spoiler alert, even though if you're watching with us, you should know all these things. But now he's like, now I'm in control of a literal, like, baby child. And all types of crazy bad things can happen. I see the worst of it in my job. You know what I mean? So it's him just, it's him freaking out.
I mean, I get it, but like at the same time, it's just a slide, dude. Like,
anything else about this episode before we close it out?
No, I like it. It's a good episode.
I enjoyed that, like the murder wasn't the focus, but
yeah,
it did cover it, and it did have an interesting story and point, and then the stuff around it was also interesting. Oh, that was pretty rad.
Yeah, they bait and switch you where they're like, because normally when the way the episode starts, you would think like, oh, this is going to be like an interesting murder, who did it, whatever, blah, blah. Like, I mean, the dude's penis is cut off, like who could have done it, blah, all that shit. And then it ends up being like, oh, yeah, we know really quickly, but what the biggest problem is these fucking firefighters, man.
These firefighters are stealing your valuables.
It's funny. They talk a lot of shit about firefighters in these first 7 seasons, but then after next season, I would like to, like, I wonder if we could watch and see how many episodes have them shitting on firefighters after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, about that. I imagine there's not a lot of interdepartmental troubles after us.
Yeah, there's not a lot of... they're not writing a lot about how, like, NYPD rules FNBYD sucks or whatever. You know what I mean? FDNY.
Anyway, The Man with Two Right Shoes. Season 7, Episode 3. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a need for more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. And Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. New episodes of NYPD Blue Balls are out every other Tuesday. And if you just need more goodness, there's some old episodes of Asher Brothers Podcast out on asherbrotherspodcast.com or where you find a podcast. Also, if you enjoy the sound of my voice, if you enjoy public domain movies, and if you enjoy video games, I am streaming at twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses. Tons of free movies and some video games and some banter if you would like to come by and watch some. Thank you very much for supporting and keeping up with NYPD Blue Balls. There's no reason to do it unless someone's listening. And I hope you enjoy the best show ever as much as we do. Have a good one, keep safe, and peace.